Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Luke chapter 8, if you find your place, let's all stand for the reading of God's Word. And it's only 7:30. All right, that's pretty early. Y'all ain't going to do nothing but go home and eat you some ice cream and watch television anyway. And that's what I'm going to do anyway, bless the Lord. Peanut butter cup, son. Don't get no better than that. Amen. I felt the Holy Spirit on that right there. I don't know about y'all. Amen. All right. Sometimes I don't think y'all know how to take me. And I don't know how to take me either, okay? But I don't. I won't just mind the Lord. I don't plan on preaching long. I'm just saying. I was just trying to make you laugh. Luke 8, verse number 41. Very familiar passage of Scripture, but I'm going to read a few verses. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. He had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. That means that it was like so many people. It was like suffocating. There were so many people around him. And a woman having an issue of blood, 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately, her issue of blood staunched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, you know, Simon Peter's a pretty funny character. Y'all know that? I don't know why. I would have never said what he says, but it's funny. Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" My humor is weird, but I just think that's so funny that he would say it to the Lord. And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." I had never seen that before. I like that right there. Her faith, you see what I'm going to read it one time. That's pretty good. I'm not preaching on it, so let me say it. "Thy faith hath made thee whole." Son, did you see what happened after her faith made her whole? He said, "Go in peace." You know when you're going to get peace? Is when you've got all the faith in the Lord. Anyway, that's sermon number one. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master." But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, "Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out, took her by the hand, and called, saying, "Maid, arise." And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway. And he commanded to give her meat. I'll stop reading there tonight. And I want to look at this passage of Scripture tonight, just preach a simple thought. And preach tonight on this right here. What to do when you're stuck. I want to preach on what to do when you're stuck. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I sure do love you. And I sure do thank you, God, for the opportunity to be back in church tonight. Lord, I'm unworthy to stand in this pulpit and preach your word. But God, I pray that you would help us and give us that unction that makes preaching preaching. And God, we will love you and we will praise you and glorify you for everything that goes on in this place tonight. Lord, we just want to magnify you. Lord, we'll love you and we'll thank you, God. In your precious and holy name we do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I love this passage of Scripture, man. It's wonderful. And right here in this chapter, you see a man by the name of Jairus, or Jairus, as most people would say. And he is in a terrible situation. You think about it. Anybody got youngins in here, you almost can just, you know, you can identify a little bit with him that his daughter is sick. I love the very first thing you find him doing. You say, what? He gets to Jesus. I believe that Jairus is to be commended tonight, that the first thing you find him doing is you find him going to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, he finally gets to Jesus. He gets to where the Lord, the Savior, the Master, the Healer is. He gets to him. And, you know, I can almost hear in Jairus' mind, I can see in this moment, he's got nothing but turmoil around him. His little girl is about to die, and he finally gets to the one, the only one that can do something for her. And when he gets to him, I can guarantee you in his mind, he said, this is it. We've done it. I've got to it. It's going to be okay. I've got to Jesus. We're here. I mean, he's going to come back home with me. He's going to heal my little girl. Everything's going to be just all right, and it's going to be wonderful. And all of a sudden, they turn to go back to the house, and they get stuck. Man, I was thinking about that the other day. I don't know what Jairus felt in that moment. I got no idea how that felt. But I guarantee you this, it probably wasn't easy to stomach. He got to the very thing. You think about that. He had got to the very one, that the only one that could do anything, and when he went to actually do something, he could not move. They get stuck in that pool, in that ocean, I should say, of people, and they can't move a thing. I'll be honest with you, I've never been in that exact situation, but I feel like I've been in a very similar predicament. When I've got a problem that only God can fix, I get a hold of the Lord, and then it just feels like for the next few days, my wheels go to spinning. I don't know if you've ever been there, but I've been there. I've been there. I've been there when I got to the Lord, and I felt like I had a breakthrough, Brother Matt. I felt like I really got a hold of heaven, and then nothing happened. I've seen churches. I know churches right now. Brother R.P., I know churches right now that know where they want to get to, know what needs to happen next, and they're just sitting there with their wheel spinning. Maybe you don't know anybody like that, but I've seen families like that. I've seen marriages in turmoil that they know what needs to happen. They know where they need to get to. They know that God's the only one that can help them, but they're just like Jairus, and they're stuck. Do you know that might be the most frustrating place you could possibly be in life? I hate being stuck. I hate it. You know how much energy I got? I ain't got as much energy as your pastor does, and I ain't as crazy as he is, but I'm real close. I inherited some weird things from him. Yeah, man, I'm just glad I didn't get his looks. Now, here's the deal. I tell you, I get in trouble every time I come here. I travel every week of my life. We travel. I'll be in Lexington all day Sunday. I'll leave Monday for Louisville, Kentucky, and we'll be gone all week. And then the next week, I'll be gone. And the next week, that's all we ever do. And I love it, but here's one thing about the road that I hate. I hate, when I say I hate it almost as much as I hate the Duke Blue Devils, I hate traffic. Yeah, man, some of you, I felt like the spirit almost got quenched there, but I don't know how it could. I was preaching against the devils, man. I don't know how that's possible in a Baptist church, but anyway. I'm just kidding. Please. I hate traffic. Oh, I hate it. Oh, my. Anybody ever been stuck in traffic? Ain't it the worst feeling in the world? It makes me want to just, there ain't nothing you can do. You with me? There ain't nothing you can do, but it makes me want to do something. And it usually ain't a good thing. I remember, speaking of Louisville, Kentucky, I remember a few years ago I was traveling out there. You know, when you get stuck in traffic, you want to do some things. Really, there's about three things that you can do that you'll want to do. Can I preach on it just a second? I don't know if it's called preaching because I ain't got much Bible to go with it. But there's three things that you'll want to do. I'm going to go back to text if you'll stay with me. There's three things you'll want to do when you get stuck in traffic. But Stan, I remember a couple years ago, I was in West Virginia on 77, I just crossed the line. I was headed towards Kentucky. If you can explain to me why I have to do, North Carolina's here, Kentucky's there. If somebody can explain to me why I have to do that to get to Louisville, Kentucky, I really would appreciate it. I just need a straight road, man. I mean, it's just leave it to state. Here's the deal. I was going, and I'm telling you, I saw about 1,000 yards up in front of me. I saw a bunch of brake lights. That's a 7-hour trip by itself. I don't need traffic. And I thought, you've got to be kidding me. This is some junk. I was mad, man. I was by myself, so my filter was not in the car with me. and my little helper in the car, you know. And I was going, and I could see it coming, the traffic, and I got stuck, and I got mad. I said, this is a bunch of junk. I'd sit there for about 30 minutes and wasn't moving at all. We moved about half a mile, and all of a sudden, I looked up ahead, and about half, I don't know how far it was, about a quarter mile off the road, I seen it like just seemed like a caravan of cars was getting off the exit. Now, I didn't know where that exit led, but I saw them going that way. You know what I wanted to do? I wanted to go figure it out, son. I was tired of being where I was. Y'all, still, I am going to preach in a second. So stay with me. I was tired of being where I was, and I started seeing some people get off that exit. It was about five or six cars. I was like, I bet they know what they're doing. That was my first mistake. And so I followed them cars. This is the God's honest truth. I got off that exit. The only thing I found off that exit was a restaurant. And you know what happened to me that day? One, I almost lost my religion. But two, I spent a whole lot of time wasting my time trying to figure out another way than just staying on the path that I was on. When you get stuck, you're going to want to take the wrong exit. And you know what happens when you do that? Can I apply it spiritually? You're taking things into your own hands. You're trying to figure it out. I mean, I've done that before. Oh, my. I've been in situations where I didn't understand why we weren't moving, why we weren't going. And then I'd start trying to figure out what I was supposed to do next. And you know what I always found out? I always caused a whole lot more trouble by doing that than if I just stayed where God had put me. You know where you need to stay? The last place you heard a word from the Lord. That's where you need to stay. Man, anyway, I could preach a whole long that. You'll want to take a wrong exit. You know what else you won't want to do? You're going to want to take a shortcut when you get stuck. Y'all all right if I tell stories? I'm feeling pretty good. I think I'm right where I need to be. Lord, let me know in a minute. You won't take a shortcut when you get stuck. Now, down in Elkin, I am going to give you some Bible in a minute, but it's okay to laugh. Down in Elkin, them bunch of dummies down there put four-way stops everywhere. They took out my stoplights, and they put four-way stops. And you know what's wrong with that? The IQ average of Elkin does not have the ability to work a four-way stop. So you know what I do in town now? I think I need to get paid for it. Every time I pull up, I'm like, your turn, your turn, your turn. That's what I do. I promise. I do, don't I, Bree? Okay. I ain't lying to you. But you know what? If you know what I'm talking about down in Elkin, if you come out of Jonesville, come over the bridge, and you're coming into Elkin, you hit that first four-way stop right there at Combs, bless the Lord for Combs, man. Go get you a filet. You get right there. Well, if you stop just a little bit before that, you turn left. Y'all know that shortcut? Bless the Lord, man. I love that road. I blow the ditches out of that road every single day. Amen. I remember, let me tell you something about that road. It ain't a shortcut. But y'all know that. It's way longer if you'll just go the normal path. It's so much easier. And every time we go home from church, Donathan thinks he has to beat me. I don't know why that is. He always loses. I mean, he just needs to get it in his head. You know what he always does? He always takes that road. And I promise you, I don't kick it. I just go normal path. And every time I sit there and wave at him as I go by. You know, they say, what are you talking about? Them shortcuts, 99% of the time, you know what? They ain't shortcuts. See, when we went to Thanks to Calvary, I guess going on about 12 years ago now, I remember my dad, we took Thanks to Calvary. You know that story. We was about 19 of us up that first day. And the Lord's blessed over the years. And I remember going in that church, and it was full of stuff. Wasn't growing. Wasn't doing what we thought I was supposed to be. I was frustrated. I was a teenager. I didn't know what I was doing. I still don't know what I was doing, but I sure didn't know what I was doing then. I remember there was a church in our area that was just booming. I mean, it was booming. And maybe y'all don't ever look at other churches, but I did. And don't lie, because you do too. Amen. You know what I told Dad? I don't understand why we're stuck and they're growing, doing the same thing, preaching the same Bible, singing the same songs, going visit. I don't understand. And My dad looked at me and said, son, I'll never forget this as long as I live. He said, son, we're going to build this church. And the Lord's going to build it. He said, but we ain't taking no shortcuts. We're going to build it the right way. And I didn't believe him when he said it. I thought it was crazy. I said, well, I'm just ready for us to have more than 10 people in a 400-seat auditorium. Amen. Looked kind of empty. You know what? Sunday morning, averaging over 300 now. I mean, it's crazy. You know what happened? We didn't take no shortcuts. God's got a plan for your life. You don't need to take no shortcut. Don't try to take it in your own hands. You know what else you want to do on the highway when you get stuck in traffic? I better give you an outline. I'm having fun, though. You're going to want to take the wrong exit. You're going to want to take a shortcut. And there's one more thing. You ever been in the highway and it's crowded and you're stuck in traffic? You ever see that road in the middle of the highway that's real short that connects one side to the other? That's a good road. But I'm not supposed to drive that road. Authorized vehicles only. That ain't me. The Lord knows I didn't need to be one of those vehicles, Brother Kevin. You know what you want to do when you get stuck? You want to make a U-turn and say, this is dumb. I'm not sitting in this. I'm going back this way. But can I say this real fast before I preach? You can't get that way by going that way. And when you get stuck in your life and you get in a situation like Jairus and you can't move. You know what you need to do. You've got a hold of the Lord, but you're just sitting there spinning your wheels. You'll do the same thing in the spiritual realm just like you want to do in your car. Make a U-turn. But you can't get to where God wants you to go by going that way. I want to look at what Jairus does in this text for a little while. Are y'all all right? I think my comedy hour is over. I want to look at what Jairus does because it's really interesting. I'm going to give you a little bitty shack in just a minute on what to do when you're stuck. But I want to look at Jairus for a second because there was a problem in his life that had overtaken him. When problems come in your life, they'll come in one of three ways. Problems will either come physically, problems will come financially, or problems will come through your family. You can bank on that. That's how they're going to come. And you can see all three of them in the story. Physical problem, you see that? You see that little girl, she had a physical problem. You see a financial problem because the woman with issue of blood spent all, and she couldn't heal. She wasn't healed. And you see a family problem with Jairus. One of those three ways. And I don't know where you are tonight. Maybe, just maybe, you are all hunky-dory. Nothing's wrong in your life. But I'm just telling you, my heart is burdened tonight to preach this text. You say, well, you've been up here 15 minutes and you ain't preached one bit of the text. Well, I'm almost there. Because I promise you, I've been there when I didn't know what to do next. Ain't you glad that, man, sometimes it's a whole lot easier to sit down where y'all are. Hard to preach and cry at the same time. Ain't you glad that when you don't know what to do next, that we've got a precious Bible that'll show us what we're supposed to do? Man, I'm glad that when I don't know what to do next, but I'm glad when I'm stuck, son, I'm glad it's so wonderful that we can go get some peace from His Word. Let's look at what Jairus does during the midst of all this. I want you to see, number one, I want you to see the humility of the Pharisee. Verse number 41, I made mention of it a second ago. The very first thing you see Jairus doing in verse 41, said there came a man named Jairus. He was a ruler of the synagogue. That's a big deal. Usually a ruler of the synagogue, man, there's a level of pride that comes with that right there. Don't see much pride in Jairus' life right here because he comes and he fell down at Jesus' feet. He had come into contact with something that he could not fix. And you see humility. Because he fell down at the feet of Jesus. I'm telling you right now, when you're stuck, the very first thing, the very first step to handle every problem is a humble spirit. Jairus had it. Humility. So he goes there and he acts right. He falls down at the feet of Jesus. But that didn't fix the problem. They're still stuck. You see the humility of the Pharisee in this story, but you also see the horror of the parents. The horror of the parents because he'd got to Jesus, but the problem's still there. Their daughter's still dying. I mean, Jairus did the right thing. He'd gone and got the master, but his daughter's still dead. Dying, I mean. That people was crowding him. And I can't really blame the people. Let's be honest for a second. See, if Jairus was a good independent, fundamental, judgmental, temperamental Baptist, he probably would have got mad at all them people trying to get a hold of the Lord. Now, there's a whole lot of preach right here I'm going to try to skip over, but it's just right here. If Jairus would have been like a whole lot of us, he probably would have got mad at those people. But I can't blame those people. Because you know what? They had stuff in their life just like Jairus did. They were just trying to get to the same one Jairus got to. I'm glad, I'll get there in a minute. Jairus could have looked, now I don't know if he did, he doesn't say that. But Jairus got to the Lord and now he's stuck. And you know what? No doubt in my mind, Jairus is on an emotional roller coaster. You think about his life in this moment. His daughter is sick. She's dying. But he gets a hold of the master. It's like down, up, and then they're stuck down again. Man, it's awful. You say, well, how sick was this little girl? She died. She died. That's how sick his little girl was. That's the horror of the parents. Then you see the hindrance of the progress. I'm skipping through all this. I'm just getting right through the text. You see the hindrance of the progress because the crowd's gathered around them and they cannot move. His heart's broken inside of him. Because you know as well as I do, the one place he wanted to be was with his girl, not in the middle of that crowd. Ain't it awful when you're going through something and the one place that you want to be, it just seems like you never can get to where that is. That's where Jairus is. He can't get to where he wants. His wife is no doubt dependent upon him. You think about the pressure that's on Jairus in this moment. His wife is dependent on him to get Jesus. His daughter's dependent on him to bring back the healer. And he cannot move. Jairus can't move. That's frustrating. Now, you may never wonder this, but I do, okay? You ever wonder why Jesus answers other people's prayer when he ain't answered yours yet? You ever wonder, it bothers me sometimes. Now we're real super spiritual, but I've asked the Lord why before. I don't think it's a sin to ask why. I don't think it's smart, but I don't think it's a sin. Does that make sense? I feel like that's okay. I don't think it's wrong, but I think it can be unwise because it leads to an awful, ugly word called bitterness. I've seen me stuck, and I've watched God be silent to me. Growing up, let me say this. My daddy used to use a word. Y'all know my daddy. He's probably pretty awesome to y'all, but he's mean to me growing up. And that's a joke. I'm sorry, I said that too seriously. He used to use a word with me all the time that I hate. You know what it was? The cost. I hate that. I love it now because I got kids. But when I was a kid, I hated that word. Hey, Daddy, we leave church. Hey, Daddy, can we go get some ice cream on the way home? No. Why? Because. And that was it. Nothing else. Sometimes he'd add three extra words. Because I said so. Amen. Thank God. I hated that word. I have PTSD over that word. I have nightmares to this day over that word. Then 6.5 years ago, I had a little girl. Now it's my favorite word in the world. Cause, man. Shut it. Because I said so. Amen. It makes you feel real big to say that, don't it? Because I know, but I ain't got to tell you. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. I love it. I kind of feel like this is a because moment. I study in this, and you know, Daddy never told me why we didn't get to go eat ice cream. I tell you a story. He's gonna tell you I'm lying. We went to McDonald's one time. He got him a vanilla ice cream cone. Me and Lydia sitting in the back seat. He didn't get us a God bless it thing. That's a true story. Builds character is what he says. I never got a reason for that. I don't know why Daddy did that. I never done that to my youngins, but I've thought about doing it and see what they did. I know how you, I'm just, okay. Because, man, you know what we are as people? I've never preached like this in my entire life. I feel like I'm just awful right now. I ain't that far from being done either, so y'all can breathe. You know what we are as human beings? Inquisitive. We have to understand. We have to understand why. And we will drive ourselves crazy to understand that little three-letter word, why. Can I say something that really is hard for me to understand? Sometimes we don't get to know why. There's some times in life that I feel like the Lord looks at me and just says, because. I got no sad stories to tell. God's been so good to my family. But I don't understand to this day. Y'all know my life. Y'all know my family. I don't have to tell you the story. But to this day, I don't understand why my little boy had to get so sick. I know everybody's got a harder story than I do, but I'm just telling you mine. I don't understand why. That's hard. It's hard when you don't know why. It stops your steps almost when you don't understand why. Son, it don't even feel like you can take another step when that question goes unanswered. And you know, in this story right here, you read it again. I know the ending. But she still died. I know what happened at the end of the text. I know Jesus brought her back to life, and we can shout all day on that. That don't take away the memories. Man, I tell you what, I feel the Lord all over this right here. That don't take away the memories of my mom and daddy. And when Jesus, now y'all may think bad about me right now, but it's okay. And when Jesus leaves that house, that little girl's going to be alive. But son, them memories of their little girl dying and that little girl that all of a sudden they had no idea. That memory's going to live on in their lives. Man. I don't think that this woman with issue of blood is just there by happenstance. That little moment about faith right there, it's not there by coincidence. Because you know how Jairus and his wife, whatever her name was, you know how they made it through that moment of not understanding why? It's one simple word, faith. God never answered their questions. You say, well, they didn't ask a question. Okay, you think that if you want to. You never been through anything then. God never said a word. And you know what? I'd love to get up here and say, give you something real deep and theological about that right there, but I ain't got a word about it. I don't understand why. But I do know this, son of mercy, that my God has never made one mistake. And even in those moments, hey, son, I'm telling you what, man. Even in those moments when you don't understand why, you know what you can do in the midst of all that? You can trust. You can trust that God does all things right. And even when you ain't got an answer, God's still in control. Man, it hindered everything. There was no answer to the question. But Jairus saw God move. He didn't have an answer, but he saw the hand of God at work. Just be honest with you, that's really all the answer he needed, is to see God in control. That was the answer. That's what gave peace. Didn't understand why it happened, but he just knew God took control of it. Bless the Lord. You see the hindrance of the progress. Let me give you a couple things, though. The hymn of the physician. I know how long I've been preaching. I've been preaching 26 minutes. There's 4 minutes of jokes at the beginning. I didn't count. You see the hem of the physician right here. There's a parenthetical break. I always think it's weird. I told you, man, going, ain't it by coincidence? Jairus' daughter's 12 years old. This woman had issue of blood for 12 years. But really, this woman with issue of blood is right in the middle of this story with Jairus. It's weird. Maybe y'all don't think so, but I think it's strange. She had issue of blood. She spent everything she had to fix it. She was depleted. She was financially depleted. She was spiritually depleted. She was physically depleted. And the crowd around the Lord was so heavy that she couldn't hardly get to the Lord. She couldn't get to His face. She couldn't get to the front of Him. I don't know how she did it. I don't know if she might have had to get down on her hands and knees, crawl to get to the Lord. She touched the border, the hem. And I don't know if she had to get down. You think about that day, she had to get down on her hands and knees, maybe. Crawl by them legs and them knees and them feet. Yuck. Feet. They didn't have boots like I got on right now that day. Open-toed sandals, probably. That's nasty. You ever seen a man's foot? Them crazy corn chip-looking toenails we got? Yeah. Preach, what are you talking about? None of that mattered to her. She didn't care what she had to get through. She didn't care what was around her. She had one thing in mind, and it was getting to the only one that could help her. Hey, and she got to him. I don't know if she might have said, Lord, oh man, if I could just touch his face. I could just touch the face where just days prior the tears fell down, where he cried outside the city, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Oh, if I could just touch his face. She couldn't get to his face. Oh, maybe. Y'all okay? I'm reading in between the lines right here. I hope it's okay. Oh, if I could just get to his hands. The hands that had broke the bread and passed out all them fish. If I could just get to his hands. The hand that reached down and saved Peter out of the water. I can't get to his hand. Oh, but if I could just get to the hand. You know what that is right there? That's faith. She couldn't get to the face or the hands, but she believed in him enough if she could just get to the border of his garment that God had enough power to take care of her situation. Man, I've heard preachers say, well, if you've got faith, you won't have no fear. That's, well, I about said a bad word. That's dumb. That ain't scriptural. You know why? Because he commended her faith. Great as I think. But it also said she came to him trembling. She was terrified. She was afraid. Even after God had healed her, she still had that fear. But you know what was stronger than her fear? Her faith. And in that midst of that situation where you don't understand, oh, bless the Lord, man. My soul's being fed right now. I hope y'all ain't bored to death because my soul, I'm telling you, it's about to overflow up here. In the midst of all that, what helped her is that her fear was not in control. And when you're stuck and you don't know what to do next and you're in the middle of a terrible situation, that fear will want to ruin you and run you. But as long as faith is at the wheel, you'll be all right. That's what happened with her. You see, after this woman gets healed, I'm skipping about 18 pages of notes, bless the Lord. You see, there's a hateful proclamation too. Verse number 49, look at it with me. I'm right there at it. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead. Now, I don't know how to handle that situation. We had a class on that in Bible college about, I think it was during pastoral administration, you taught about how to deal with people when they're going through something like that. You didn't tell us to do that. Do you see what he said to that man? Thy daughter is dead. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'd had to deal with something like that, I don't know how to tell you this. I'm so sorry. But your little girl, she didn't make it. Something like that. Not this guy. Hey, Jairus, thy daughter is dead. How callous. How cold. You know what it is? That's a hateful proclamation. It's almost like he's blaming him. don't you see? I mean, he's telling him that his daughter is dead. And that's how he chose to say those words. So blunt. Josh, you're the daddy. You're supposed to be there. Can you read in between those lines with me? You're supposed to be the one that gets to Jesus. Your daughter is dependent on you. And look at what you've done. It's almost like he didn't even blame the father. If you look at the next four words, it's almost like he's blaming the Lord, ain't he? He said, thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. Don't even worry about it. Ain't no use in it. It's too late. It's too late. Don't even worry about giving this to the Lord. They ain't no use in it. This is a lost cause. But ain't you glad tonight they ain't no lost cause with the Lord? And even we in that situation, he didn't know what to do next. And everybody around him was telling me it's crazy. And there wasn't no use in doing anything else. And he still had faith to believe that God was still in control. And he knew that it wasn't over till God said it was over. And he kept on believing that God was in control. And we know at the end of the story, end of that chapter, there was a healing presence that filled that room. God showed up. You know what Jairus just kept doing? He just kept walking. When he was stuck, he didn't know what to do next. You know what he did? He just kept doing it. Y'all with me? He just kept doing it. He just kept walking. He just kept trusting. He just kept believing. When you're stuck in the middle of that situation in your family, you don't know what to do next. You know what you need to do? Keep walking. Just keep trusting. You need to remember three things. You need to remember his mercy. It was the mercy of God that healed that woman with this issue of blood. She didn't deserve that. I'm just being honest with you. Didn't deserve that. But God, out of mercy, healed her. You need to remember he's merciful. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about in the middle of your situation. You just remember what you truly deserve. It helps the situation. Remember that you truly deserve to be in hell tonight, and anything better than that is just a blessing and the mercy of God. It helps your perception. Then, you need to remember he can multitask. I like this one. Now, I can't. I'm a man. We can't multitask. I can do two things at one time. You ready? I can eat buffalo wings and watch football. Same time. That's multitasking. My wife can get three kids ready, get herself ready, make lunch, and be ready to go for church looking like a supermodel before I even get my tie tied on Sunday morning. I don't know how she does it. Something God gave a woman. He didn't give it us men. We're losers. I mean, we struggle, man. I can't even get myself ready half the time. And but you know what? God can multitask. You know what, Jairus? I don't know if he did. It's not recorded. I'm done. Miss Cordell, you play on the piano so I quit preaching. You know what Jairus does? It's not recorded. That he started talking and yapping. He might have, but I don't know. If it had been like us, it had been real easy when Jesus paused to heal that woman with issue of blood. Don't you think about it from our perspective. Wouldn't it have been real easy for him to look at that and say, God, I had you first. You're supposed to be helping me right now. God, why are you? That ain't the deal. You're supposed to be helping me. Why are you helping me? I don't know about you, but son, I've been in a church service before, and I look on the other side of the church, and I see God moving in somebody's life, and then they're stirred up, and I'm sitting there dull and callous, and I'm like, God, why are you helping? God, I need you. But I got good news. God healed that woman, and he raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. You may have a problem, but guess what? They got a problem too. Don't get frustrated if you see God move in their situation before he moves in your situation. That's a natural thing to do. But God can do it both at the same time. Hallelujah. Hey. Oh, my goodness. Man, he can do it both. He can go down to the hospital tonight and be with Brother Rodney. But he also can be right here in the midst of this service and speak peace to your soul. You know why? Because he can multitask. You know what else he can do? He can still to this day perform miracles. He can still now son, I've done come down a road too far for you to tell me it ain't so. He can work in the supernatural. In the ways that it don't seem possible, that's where God's at his best. With man, it might be impossible. But with God, all things are possible. I don't know where you are tonight, but I know this. God's still in control. You may be in a situation you feel stuck. You don't know what to do. You feel like you're spinning your wheels. It's just time to put your trust in the one that's got it all in his hands. Just depend upon him, believe on him, and trust him. That's all standing out with her.